This is the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media. Now, here's Jason Jones.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Jason Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Jones, and this is Hollywood Week on the Jason Jones Show. The last episode, we interviewed the great Father Sean Raftis on his dear friend, Father Stu, who was actually Father Sean's spiritual director. So if you saw the movie, which you need to see the movie, you must see the movie. If you have a to-do list, first thing on the to-do list is go to MyPillow.com, use the code Jones, buy yourself some pillows. Second thing is to go see Father Stu. Third thing is to clear your schedule for this coming Monday, because on Monday, April 25th, in over 700 theaters across the United States, there is a new film coming out called Alive, and you're going to go to alivethemovie.com to check it out. But the distribution company from Spain that is bringing this beautiful film on the Christian teaching of the Eucharist and its impact on people, on families, and on our civilization, that's going to be in theaters this Monday. And as soon as my review drops, I'll put it in the show notes. If you go there and check and it's not there, it's because it didn't drop yet. But this film is a Spanish documentary. It's going to be subtitled in English, 700 theaters. But the distribution company, there's a Spanish distribution company, Bosco Films, that is bringing this film to the United States of America. And it is a beautiful film. The Spanish, they have a unique way of shooting documentaries. And I speak with our guest, Lucia Gonzalez Berenderian. And Lucia and I worked together 15 years ago on the movie The Stoning of Soraya M. She was a young intern at the time, and now she's the owner of this distribution company that is not only distributing faith-based films across Spain and Europe, but now she's invading the United States. So we talked to Lucia. It is great catching up with her. This episode is being brought to you by the Vulnerable People Project, standing in solidarity with the most vulnerable people in the world during the most challenging times. And you can be there with us, shoulder to shoulder, in our safe houses in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and our shelters in Ukraine. You can be there with us when you become a monthly donor. Go to thegreatcampaign.org. And when you are a monthly donor, you get a free copy of my book with John Smirak, The Race to Save Our Century. And as always, as you know, this episode is being brought to you by MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com, use the code Jones, and there is a raging sale on Giza Dream Sheets. And you need those Giza Dream Sheets. I have them. And you, I know that inspires envy, but if you have them, you will no longer envy me with my mattress topper, my pillows, and my Giza Dream Sheet. You can have all that yourself. So go to MyPillow.com, use the code Jones, and you get those amazing discounts. All right, here we go. Hollywood Week. Christians are invading the entertainment industry. With Lucia Gonzalez Berenderian. It's the Jason Jones Show. Aloha, Lucia Gonzalez Berenderian. Welcome to the Jason Jones Show.
Thank you so much, Jason. And thank you for finding the time for this interview from the other part of the world.
Yeah, you're in Madrid, Spain, correct?
Correct.
So I want to set this up, first of all. I am so excited to talk to you, because how long has it been since we have had a conversation?
Oh, I guess about 15 years. No, I guess.
A long time
because
ago. Because
a long time ago, I was young in that moment, and I think you too. You were young.
I was younger, and you were young. Yes, you interned. Yeah. You were an intern for Metanoia Films.
Exactly. These are the beginnings of Lucia's cinema work. And I guess yours too, no? I guess, Jason, we start in the same company, but you in production, no? Executive producer, and I was the intern, because in that moment, I guess it wasn't another one. So yeah, I'm coming from Spain, so.
The intern from Spain. And I remember I looked at you as I look at all these interns, and I thought, huh, this woman's going to go on to great success and leave me in her dust. And that's what you did. Unbelievable. You started a big distribution company in Spain.
Not big, but with big faith, this is true.
Well, you do. No, but you've done, I've followed you. You've done big things. And now with this beautiful new film Alive, you are daring as a distributor to invade the United States of America.
I fingers crossed. I hope this could be the beginning for a change for documentaries, Spanish documentaries, but also for spiritual and Catholic content in the United States. More Catholic, no, than deeply messages, that it's not easy to find a place in the United States for this kind of content. This is true. But so, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Before we get to your film, Alive, that your company, Bosco Films, is distributing on 700 screens this coming Monday, which is unbelievable. In fact, I'm going to buy out an entire theater in my town. I now live in Texas, and I'm near San Antonio. We're going to buy out the whole theater and give all the tickets away.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, it's such a beautiful film. No, thank you. But before I get to the film Alive, I want to focus on you, Luthia, because you've done something amazing. And by the way, in graduate school, I took a class on intercultural communications, and I got a C. But notice I call you Luthia and not Lucia. It's because of that class. So...
Yeah.
You were an actor, you producer, director, writer, you could have done all of that. But before we get into the film that you've brought to the United States, this beautiful Spanish documentary, Alive, can you share with me your process and why you thought to go the route of distributor rather than writer, director, producer, actor?
Why distributor?
Yes.
Distribution. I study cinema, radio, and television in college, in the university here in Spain. But I wanted to study this career because I feel a deep vocation for communicate. And in my early years, even when I was studying in college, in university, I made at the same time my studies and then I worked as a journalist during the 5 years of studies in radio and I started having my show. in a local radio where in a city called Valencia in the coast in Spain. And I feel so happy because, you know, Jason, I think you think in the same way that I do, that we have like callings, no, inside to make something, to make things, as you are also making with other big projects, in the corner in Ukraine, we have like callings inside, and we just have to sometimes to make this first step and to have faith, no, on what you are doing, and of course that we are not alone if it's a good something good. And my first years, I work as a journalist in Spain and then in Italy, in Rome. I work as a Vatican journalist. And I felt in that moment like, yes, I'm giving a yes, no? I'm giving my yes for a cause, for something that I think it's important. And then something more deep, and I feel also grateful, because when I look back and see how life is guiding me, I had to stop this career in that moment in Rome. I was as a correspondent in Rome, because my father got very ill and suddenly, so I had to stop working in Rome and be back to Spain and take care of him for some months. Not only me, with the rest of my family, my other brothers and sisters and my mother. But he was in the hospital for many months. So I'm telling you that because I feel that was something good for me.
What year was that? What year was that?
When? It was 17 years ago.
Okay, so it was before Metanoia Films.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That happens before Metanoia Films, and that's the reason why I'm telling you that. I felt this vocation for communicate the good news, no, the good with capital G. But I had to be back. So some months later, one of my friends in this television in Rome, American, her name is Amanda, start working, left also Rome, and she went back to United States and start working in an amazing company in Los Angeles called Metanoia Films. I remember because we were in all this process in touch, and I remember her telling me, you know, there is a lot of good people working from here, and there are a lot of good people that are trying to change life with cinema. And I was thinking, cinema? Come on, no, you work. You work for one of the biggest agencies in Rome. Are you telling me exactly that a movie can change life? Really? Of course. I can watch some movies, but I can do it. And just give me a moment, Jason. Sorry, Jason.
No, that's okay. We'll edit
the
that.
The courier.
We'll edit
and
that
I'm
out.
Alone in the
wink.
Office.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll be edited out. Wink. Okay. So your friend.
So,
I didn't get that. Did your friend tell you that you could change the world through film, or did you tell her that? I missed that point.
She told me because she worked in a beautiful movie called Bella that you know better than I. And she wrote me and she called me from
Oh, this
America
was
think,
Amanda that worked on our with our marketing team.
Yes, exactly. Do you remember her?
I remember Amanda. Yeah, I mean, we had 100 young people, but I remember her. Yeah, of course. We had hundreds of young people, right, that worked on Bella volunteering.
Yeah, in that moment,
marketing.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's before we had social media.
No, but she was not volunteer.
No, she was paid.
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the days before we had social media, and you actually had to have hundreds of volunteers making email lists phone trees and,
Yeah, I remember that moment also. So, when I had to live in Rome, I was teaching her Spanish. Or trying, and she was trying to teach me in English. So when I received that call from Amanda, she told me, "You are working now, or are you free?" "I'm free." "Okay, and what do you think to have some air and come to the United States and try to see if you can learn some English in the way we stop suddenly in Rome? And maybe I will be very grateful if you can teach. Still teaching me in English because this is a production company founded by Latin people, Hispanics." So I said yes. And this is the beginning of a new way of life. And that's why I was talking before about the vocation, no? The vocation of trying to find a way and to answer of these internal callings that we all have. And I think God knows, of course, better than ourselves, where can we work better, maybe, no? Or be more useful.
So, Luthea, before before Bella, you were a writer, you had a radio show, but film, I'm guessing, seemed like, for me, it was a castle in the sky, like floating on the clouds that you could never get to. It was just there, but there was no way to get there. Is that how it was for you until, you know, Amanda and then, I guess, the Metanoia guys? Did it make it realistic to you? It made it achievable. This is something that you could actually do. Was it like that for you? Because that's how it was for me. I did radio too. I don't know if you know that. I started in radio and I wrote, I actually even did a documentary. But the idea of a narrative feature film seemed so beyond the ability of a normal human being. It just was some, you know, I always said it was like a castle on a cloud. And I wouldn't have even begun to understand distribution and P&A and all of the other things that went into it. But just the idea of making a movie seemed to me out of the realm of being achieved by anybody. So it was the same for you?
It's true. It was exactly the same for me. It was something so far from me. It was Hollywood people, no? It was famous people, people with lots of money and with ideas so different from mine. But for me, at least in my life, I feel that I'm just giving short steps. One step, and then another step, and then another step. I just feel that I'm always I was always in the right places, and with my eyes and ears open to hear and see what is happening around. And I met some people very interesting that making dreams that for me were impossible, like for you, no? It's like film industry, really. I always loved cinema. When I was a teenager, I every week I skated to the cinema to see one or two movies. To the movies. And when I started working on this, first as an intern, and then with an act of confidence of someone in me, because I didn't have the knowledge on how cinema industry work, because I studied that in school, no, but I wanted to be a journalist. So it wasn't something for me that I have to pay attention, because it's for others, it's not for me. But it's nice because thanks of this moment that changed my life, no, in the beginning, for me to stop this radio station, so to go to Rome, to following a dream, and then to stop following these dreams, to start in the big media to communicate, that is cinema. And when I in that moment, no, you say in this production company called Metanoia, when I saw hundreds of people volunteering in a production company, it was the first production company I've been. And so I was thinking, okay, American people are so generous.
You thought that was... Wait, Luthea, so you thought that was normal? Like every movie had hundreds of young people volunteering for free 18 hours a day for pizza and a sleeping bag.
Why? why this small place is always with a lot of people and nobody works in cinema industry. Some is informatic, another one speaks Japanese. And I was so surprised. And in the beginning, as well, okay, this is something that I have to understand.
You must have thought. And then, you must have thought we were a very Catholic country, too. They were all so faithful, this country. Because all the volunteers were really devout Catholics, right? Mostly.
Mostly. But in the moment I were there, I think half and half were Christian Protestants and others Christian Catholics.
Okay, but
I found also this very interesting, because it's to find the things that we have in common and to fight together for a cause. With cinema, no, having the instrument as the cinema. So for me, it was like a light turning in my mind, saying your desire, your calling, intent, calling to communicate God's causes. You find the media, the big media, to communicate, because all these people are here volunteering, helping, because one movie changed their lives.
You know, Luzia, I'm glad you... I want to share something with you real quick. I don't know if you know this. Even when you were volunteering with us, do you remember the Bella Hero program? Do you remember that?
Sure.
So we would donate Bella DVDs to give to pregnancy centers to pregnant women when they found out they were pregnant.
I remember that.
You know, we received thousands of letters from women who are scheduled to have an abortion and chose life. And it's those volunteers, you know, that worked the phones and built the databases, and that they really deserve so much of the credit for the success of Bella. And there were just so many of them. I don't even know how we could ever reach them all or thank them all. But you were one of them. So, you were in the midst of all of that. And they pushed that film, that little film, into theaters across the country. I will say it took us, you know, months and months and months to reach as many screens as Alive is going to be on your very first opening day. That's kind of amazing. But, you know, it took us months to get to 600 screens, and you're opening on more screens than we were on. So that's tremendous. But I just wanted to mention that all those volunteers did change lives and led to lives, people, kids having their lives. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And it's just 90 minutes that are so powerful, no? The length of a movie or a chapter in a TV series now. So yes, cinema is a powerful instrument. And I don't know why, Jason, I just came back to Spain and I started working in distribution. The first movie I was working in distribution was, of course, Bella. But after more than 10 years working in distribution, independent distribution in Spain, I in small companies, but good companies, I understand all the process that I... In this case, I didn't study about distribution in the university. And I think it's one of the parts in the industry more secret, no, for the people, because everyone knows about production, no, and are more used to hear the word production company, but not distribution company. And
Lucia, I have worked with movie stars. I have one friend, she's a movie star, and she made a movie. And she's been in the, I don't want to give away who she is, but she's been a star since she was a little girl, like legitimate huge star, and never stopped being a star since she was a little girl. She made a movie, and then we sat down, and I said, we need to find a distribution company. We need a P&A budget. And she didn't know what P&A meant, like a print and advertising budget. She didn't know. She thought she just needed a production budget. She really didn't understand what a distribution company did. And I thought, you have been a movie star like since you were, you know, and since I was in elementary school. And, but that's, like you said, it's kind of a secret part, right? People just don't think about it, but it's the most films produced are not really, they don't get distribution. Most films, I'd say 50% of films. I don't know what the number is, but if I just look at people I know, most of their films don't get theatrical distribution. It's really challenging. It's the, you know, if you don't get distribution, no deal. Like Bella almost did not get distribution. If we did not win the Toronto International Film Festival, which was a miracle, if that did not happen, there would have been no theatrical distribution for Bella. It would have gone straight to DVD. If we were lucky, we would have gotten a DVD deal or investors to put it on DVD. So you picked, like you said, the most mysterious part of the industry, but the single most important part of the industry, really.
Yeah, and I didn't know that about the Bella, that almost didn't have distribution. But it makes sense for me because it's true. Many independent films, and mostly in the United States, where it is the most important country for cinema, I guess, no? But 90% of the movies released there are mainstream or made by big production companies that are also distribution companies. And there are a lot of good movies that we can see because nobody discovers the potential on it. And yeah, that's why I feel like trying to find treasures in the festival markets, and not only because this is something also for me very, very mysterious and also attractive about the movies. Some people hear about festival films like Toronto, as you say before, or Cannes Film Festival, Venice Film Festival. There are some cities or names of cities and festivals that we more or less know, no, before. But there are a lot in around the world. And in the most important ones, there is market. There is people that sell and buy movies. And thousands of people are going to these festivals just to watch and to buy movies. And for example, for me, one of the most important ones are Berlin Film Festival in Germany, where, I don't know, maybe 30,000 people are going to just to buy. So there I usually find treasures, but are hidden, are more hidden. Maybe they are in the catalog of some sales agents, people who sell movies. But there are many good people, like in this case was Metanoia Films, no? A small company in the beginnings that are trying to make something interesting and good for the audience that maybe don't have the budget for make the advertising or to find the correct, the right person to sell the movie, no? But it's nice because I'm trying always to find and to be with my eyes open to find these treasures. And there are a lot of treasures, and there are many people trying to make good things. But it's not easy to find a place to be released in theaters. Or maybe if you are more lucky, after the cinemas go to a platform that can be enough strong enough to make it more view. And I'm trying to find to fight in the same way I think you are doing in other things too, Jason, to change the a little bit, this cinema industry, because I think Christian Protestants start believing on the power of the movies 15 years ago, when I was with you in Los Angeles. They were starting making movies, and they were speaking clearly about how we need audience to change the way of the industry. And they did it. And now many of the Christian Protestant movies are, every time they go to theaters, are in the top 10 box office in the United States. And this is amazing. Because they are giving signals, very important signals, that tells that it's okay to have Avengers, of course. It's okay to have movies about superheroes or about entertainment, just for entertainment. But cinema has a strong power to change life. Cinema can elevate. I read in an interview some years ago that Mel Gibson said, I'm trying to, in his words, I'm trying to make movies that can use the three E's. Elevate, educate, entertain. E's? So I am trying to make the same.
Mel Gibson's three E's. Educate, elevate, and entertain. I like that. Well, you know, Father Stu, which is an amazing film, just did that, right? I mean, unbelievable. Can we go back to the Protestant-Catholic divide in filmmaking? You know, I've thought a lot about this, the success that the evangelical community has had, but I think that it's different. And a lot of people, even especially my evangelical friends in film, will be the harshest on Protestant films or evangelical films, but I'm not, because I think they're very smart, they're good filmmaking, but they're different than when Catholics make movies, because I think that the evangelicals make films for a niche market, where there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, there's all kinds of niche markets, and so that's easier to get your return on your investment. You can focus your advertising dollars. You're swinging for a double or a triple. You're not going for a grand slam home run. And so it's easier to have success. Where I find Catholic filmmakers like Eduardo Verástegui, Alejandro Monteverdi, or Steve McAvity, Mel Gibson, that they're making films for the world, but trying to communicate Christian truths. Then that's where it becomes trickier and also more risky because of the structure of distribution and advertising. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I think I know some, or I met some people in Catholic that want to make this kind of movies for everyone. Not only the Passion of the Christ, of course, it's a religious Catholic movie, but it's made for everyone. And it's 83 million people show it in theaters. In the year of its release. But it's true that I think we need both. We need movies more of niche, you say, no? More to strictly to the Catholic. And we need also the other ones to grow in faith or make one of this kind of movies. As you say, Alejandro Monteverde and Bella. Bella is a kind of Bella is a it's a pro-life movie made for everyone, but it doesn't mean that it's a Catholic film. And this is true. This is true because it's a movie to open your mind to something new. And then, maybe when you are in research, you need to have answers. And maybe, in this case, you need a movie that gives you answers, directly answers, no? I think, or at least in my case, I don't want to see movies that try to convince me directly. I don't like this kind of movies, but it's me. I like movies that make me reflect, that make me think, and go to the same maybe answer by my own. But sometimes we, and I think more now in the last 2 years after the pandemic, we are in as human beings making more answers or having more questions on what is life about, what's the most important thing, what is in reality the life, and why we forgot our spiritual being, no? Because we are mind, we are body, and we are spirit. We all, the human beings, know that, even if you are a believer or not believer. But in this moment, I feel with Alive, with this movie that we are promoting right now, that people are more open to hear and to investigate about spiritual matters.
Yeah, let's talk about
and
a lot.
In this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luthi, I loved a lot. I loved it. It is a treasure. And it's uniquely Spanish, too. I've noticed Spanish documentaries, they really linger with the subject longer than American documentaries in a way that's very beautiful. You really get to know the people as they talk. There's a subtlety. The camera rests on them. You get to see their facial expressions. In America now, I feel it's like cut, 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 quick, camera, change camera angle. And so what I really like about Spanish documentaries is the way, and I think at the root of it, it's Christian personalism embedded in the culture of Spain. The way that you really get to look at the subjects, and what was beautiful about this film, and I really think COVID made this opportunity available for Alive, right? It's for independent distributors, independent films. Like, now is our chance. Like, disruption is opportunity. And you are seizing this opportunity to get a film on. I don't want to give anything away because it does a great job of, you know, I don't want to do any plot spoilers. It's a documentary with plot spoilers. But it's really on the Catholic teaching on the Eucharist, on the priesthood, and on human dignity and how they're all related. But then there are some subtle things that to me, because I've been really doing a deep dive and radical right ideologies in Europe. I've been reading a lot of National Socialism in Europe, the rise of National Socialism and anti-Semitism, the rise of sort of these Heideggerian nihilistic right-wing movements in Europe. And there you have it in your film. This young man who was raised in a good Christian family, went to a good Catholic school, but was seduced by National Socialism, was seduced by this nihilistic ideology. But by the end of it, is this young man is talking about God is love and Jesus and kindness. And I thought this young man was saved from the abyss by the Eucharist, you know. I really fixated. I liked everyone, but that young man to me was really fascinating. So even though I guess this, you would have to say it's a Catholic niche movie. It's on the Eucharist. It's on the priesthood. It's on the Christian Catholic anthropology or understanding of human dignity in the womb, da-da-da. It's all there, but I think it transcends. Like, I want everyone to watch this film. I did a podcast. I'm sorry I'm talking so fast. I hope you're keeping up with me. I'll try to talk slower. No. I'm just so excited about this film. I did a podcast with Taylor Marshall called Dude, That's Weird. And it was called Dude, That's Weird. And I was going to do a series of shows where I interviewed people on the weird things their religions taught, but I couldn't get anyone but Catholics to come on, so I paused it. But the first and only episode of Dude, That's Weird was on the Catholic teaching of the Eucharist. But that young man who had been seduced by National Socialist ideology as a young man, alcohol, violence, drugs, he had said that he was looking at the Eucharist. He said, that piece of bread they think is Jesus. They think Jesus is God. And he was staring at that, thinking about that.
And he's like, this one that you are talking, James, it's one of the, it's one of the most maybe deep stories in a life. And he didn't know, this is nice to know, because in the beginning, when this documentary was in process, in production, James, this person wasn't in anybody because nobody knows James. I don't want to make a spoiler. But he wasn't in Spain, he wasn't in Europe, nobody knows James in that moment. But because he was living out of the world and trying to find his place and living inside, no? But it's true, he was atheist and most of atheists, he was anti-church, anti-religion, because he thought it was the oppression of the world, you know, religion. But for some reason, Jason, in a pilgrimage of the Hakuna, who is the name of the production company, and it's also an association created by a priest, Spanish priest, for adoration, Eucharistic adoration. They were in a pilgrimage in Rome, and someone told them, you know, here there is a big testimony of a young boy that changed life. Why don't you interview him? And it wasn't prepared. And maybe you can see it's not the audio is not perfect, the photography is not perfect in his interview, because it was like he has 40 minutes free, and then he leaves Rome, and he's going to be out of the world for months with no telephone, with nothing. So and it was incredible, because the director of Alive, of the movie, didn't know a word of nothing about his story. So he just put the microphone and say, please tell me your story, we have 30 minutes. And he gives the name of the documentary. He say, I understand that in this piece of bread, there is life. In this life, changed my life. Forever, and it's true.
And you think incredible. About the destiny of Europe is tied up in the Eucharist. Yes. It's our understanding, yes, of the human person is tied up in the Eucharist. And here was this poor young man who just was spiraling into the dark. And it was as I'm surrounded by all of these books, because you know, I've been studying the rise of right-wing ideology in Russia, which led me to realize it transcends not just Russia, but Eastern Europe, not just Eastern Europe, but it's all over Europe, and it's even pushing into the right in America. And it's quite concerning as a conservative. I think that as a conservative Catholic, we're the only ones that can save the world from the rise of right-wing ideologies. And so I just looked at this beautiful young man, but one thing I thought it should give hope to parents, because his parents raised him in the faith, and that you could see the scaffolding of his catechesis and his education. And even though he drifted far from the faith, that when he returned, just how articulate he was and sophisticated he was in his use of language, you could see that this was a young man that was able to think deeply on the problems of existence, of human suffering, of violence, even though he'd been swept away. And so I think for parents who lose their children to the ideologies of the world, I think if you raise them right, as it says, I believe in Proverbs, that in their old age they will return. And in this, he wasn't old. I think he was still a teenager when he returned, even though he was a violent hooligan for a period. I didn't notice any difference in the production. I thought it was beautiful. What I did notice, which I do notice in Spanish film, tell me if you notice this, that, you know, when you watch like Chinese or Japanese filmmaking, I feel oftentimes the subjects get lost in the setting. And that's why Asian films are so beautiful. But I also don't think that they don't have the Christian anthropology that the West cannot escape. But in Spain, especially in Spanish films and in Spanish documentaries, I feel that the subjects get even more attention than in other Western countries. You go to all of these film festivals. Is this something distinct about Spanish film? And also, you see it in Mexican filmmakers too. I see this the subject just sort of pops out of the screen, and the camera does so much of the work, and not even dialogue, but yet it's still the subject. Does that make? Am I communicating? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But there is something interesting on what you are doing, just saying, because Europe, you know, it's losing their faith. It was the origin of the faith, no, and the Christian faith. In Spain, it was one of the most important countries, like in Italy, no, where the Catholic faith were strong, so powerful. But I think that this is the reason that why now in Italy and Spain, there are a lot of people that hate the faith. And here in Spain, as you say, no, in Europe, there are like many radicals and many politicals, and kind of dangerous things are happening. Here in Spain, it's one of the first countries in Europe that are making new laws against church, against free of your faith and your think. And it was because it was the most Catholic country in the whole continent. And right now, I think there is a new generation in their 20s that are like discovering, because their parents maybe wasn't believers, but they are in research and they are trying to find truth. Or maybe their parents were Catholic more for tradition, no? Because we the family believe in God, and we want you to go to the school and to understand how a Christian speaks, how Christian acts, no? And if you understand it good, it will be the perfect society, I guess, no? If you know how to be a good Christian, a good Catholic, you can make the world a better place. But in this case, with it's true that it's maybe inside, no? It's inside us, in our tradition, in our way to watch things. And family is very important, still being very important in Spain. We are more united than maybe other European countries.
You know who was a scene stealer for me, who really just in the limited time you see him, but he's a magnificent guy. I'd like to know that guy. Is Carlos's father.
I think yes,
Carlos's father, you know, I don't even know if he's Catholic at this point.
No, he's still being atheist.
So he's still an atheist, but he was so unsettled by his son becoming, you know, da-da-da. But the father, the love for his son and his demeanor, you're like, that is a beautiful human being, although he seems to have prejudice against the church, you know? But he's the kind of guy, if you saw him at a coffee shop, I would want to go talk to him just because of his presence.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's amazing. The father is like, when I met him, he's like, I want to hug you.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Carlos made sense. You could only get a son like Carlos from a dad like that, because Carlos was such a gentle, good soul. I was watching going, why can't I be like him? You know, even as an atheist, he was a better human than I am as a Catholic, you know? And he just, why can't I be a guy like that? And then you meet his dad and you're like, oh, I didn't have a dad like that. But his dad was something else. So I'm going to start praying for Carlos's dad. But there was so many surprises. There are so many interesting people in this film. And it's coming out this Monday, one day only. If you're in San Antonio, email me at jason@movie2movement.com. We're going to buy out at least one showtime. We're going to buy out 80% of the seats because we want people to go online and be able to get them. There'll be many people that don't hear that we're giving away tickets for free. So we'll buy out 80% of the seats. And I just encourage everyone to go see this because it's about the life of Christianity. And the life of Christianity, not just Catholicism, is really grounded in the Eucharist. And the Christian understanding of the human person is grounded in the Eucharist. And this film is about everything, really. It's a very important, beautiful documentary that I don't want anyone to miss. If you're listening to the show, you got to go.
Yeah, and we really hope that this is a new window that it's opening for us, and I think for movies like Alive, that it's not easy to find distribution, as we were talking before, no? It's not easy to open theaters to watch this kind of movies. But it's great that we find this almost 800, because it's 780 screens, I guess, in the moment, more or less.
That is huge.
And they give us this. It's huge. It's huge. And it's still been a testimony. It's a film by a movie, but a documentary, testimonial documentary. And it became a great success everywhere. Everywhere. And not only in Spain, it's also in other 13 countries in Latin America, but now it's going to the United States, but in a month it's going to Brazil, to Poland, to Germany, to Austria, to Switzerland, to Korea. So it's amazing what is how God is speaking about, you know, through this movie.
I just want to drive this point. I want to drive this point home to folks that if you're listening to this and you're Catholic, there is a documentary on the Eucharist in America that's going on this coming Monday. What's the date on that? What is that date? It's the
April
25th, one day only on over 700 screens, which is amazing. I just worked with a distribution company in the United States that has some weight behind it, and our film only got to 400 screens. You're going to be on 700 screens, unbelievable, during Easter, April 25th. And the website is alivethemovie.com, right?
Alivethemovement.com.
Alivethemovement.com. I like it. Let me go to it right now. And or you can go to Fathom Events, I'm guessing. Alive the Movement.
Yes.
I'm going
to
write a review.
You can go to buy tickets. You can download the poster and print it and put it everywhere. You can find stills to share in social media in alivethemovement.com, because we want to create a movement around the power of the Eucharist and how it's changing lives, really. With no advertising, this small and simple documentary, it's more 100,000 people already view it.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
So, yeah. Lucia, I'm going to wrap the show. We're going to land the plane pretty soon, but I want everyone to go to alivethemovie.com, find a theater. And I'm sorry, Alive the Movement. Like movie to movement, alivethemovement.com, and find your theater and bring as many people as you can. For some of you, it's just yourself. For some of you, I'm in a position, I'm going to buy out an entire theater and invite, don't buy out the whole theater. I'm going to buy out 80% of the theater, and don't you buy out the whole theater, about 80% of the theater, because you want that family that's looking online to be able to find it if they don't know about you, right? So fill up as much of it as you can, but make sure you don't leave any seats unused, and don't buy up all the seats, because you want families that are looking for seats to find it. But we want to make sure that it sells out. Now, if we do a good job, is there a chance that the dates will be added?
Yes, hopefully. It depends of the I don't know. Not right now, it's almost an act of faith, no, to watch this movie and having just one day. But what I can tell you, Jason, what I show in this movie is that it's very special. I've been working for 15 years in movies, so good movies, but people, when watch this movie, want to share it and want to buy tickets for their family and for friends, even if they believe or not. It's incredible. It's happening everywhere. But I'm a bit afraid because in the United States, we just have this day, this first day, this one day. And if it works enough, they are going to give us a second day. And I know if we have this second day, it's going to explode.
But that depends on us. Everyone listening has to go that first day. There's no second day, right? And
yes.
I always get frustrated when people are like, well,
right now, no.
I always get frustrated when people, yeah. when I'm working on a film, they're like, oh, it left theaters before. Well, what were you waiting for? I went to see Father Stu opening night. You know why? Because yeah. I wanted there to yeah. be, I know how it works. Every ticket sold that opening weekend determines how many screens are added next week. When you know of all the millions of dollars.
I remember being in front of a theater with you.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you don't remember, but in the first day of the stoning of Soraya, I was with you in front of a theater in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Speaking about the movie to many people, speaking about how it was important to go to watch this movie. And it's true. It's very important to go and to have the faith and the spirit to be strong together. And I what I can almost promise is that if you go with anyone, the worst thing that can happen is to lose 90 minutes of your time. But the best thing, you never know. You never know. And something that maybe it's interesting and that we didn't spoke before, is that the director of a life, he don't believe.
That's unbelievable.
And that's why, yeah. And he was chosen because of that.
I believe
because,
that.
Because the priest, yeah, because the priest that is starting with this adoration and who watch all the life changing, like Carlos, like James that we were speaking, they were not believers, and that's why he thought we need this kind of looks. In we need new. We don't want to convince. We just want a new person that speak in truth. And I think that's what's happening with Alive, and it's part of the success.
And I think that's part of the miracle.
The miracle is that it's made.
I experienced Eucharistic miracle as an atheist, and never since.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? That it happened.
Yeah, it makes sense for me.
I experienced it as an atheist. That I would go to adoration with my friend, and I would tease her and say, "I'll sit in front of the Jesus cookie. Little bit of flour, a little bit of water, a little bit of Jesus," and I would just sit there. And with her, she'd go to adoration, and I experienced the Eucharistic miracle at adoration as an atheist that would mock the Eucharist.
And it's incredible because he's there, and he's alive.
And he's alive, and that's what I don't talk about it publicly. Maybe I will one day, but it's one of those things that when you say out loud, people look at you kind of, huh? But and they'll go, well, you didn't become a saint after that. No, I sure didn't. Maybe if I did, I'd tell more people because they're going to say, well, you know, well, yeah, that happened and you're still a knucklehead. Yeah, yeah, probably that would, if it could happen every day, I'd still be a knucklehead. But Luthia, I can't tell you how proud I am of you to know you and that I had an opportunity to work with you. And do you know, we have two films that were slated to produce this year. One that I'm directing, and we're looking to shoot in Madrid. And
nice.
It's in
here
Spanish.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to tell you about it. And I've been waiting.
Please.
Do you know? I probably talked to you about this film. I don't want to give anything away because it's in the public domain. It went in the public domain this year, the story. And I said, as soon as for 20 years, I'm like, as soon as I don't have to pay this estate millions of dollars, I'm making this film. I hope no one makes it first, and no one has made it. So we're looking. We'd have already gone into production if not for sort of the responsibilities we have in Afghanistan and Ukraine. But we really are driving to make this film this year. It's a powerful film, a very famous story that has a strong life message, and it's set in Spain in the 1920s. So if you know the story, you know the story.
I know the story? Really?
You will know. Yeah, if I tell you, you know the writer is very famous, and the story went in the public domain this year, so you can guess when it came out. I just don't want to make it easier.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't want other people to poach my idea. I got to guard it. I'll tell you as soon as
you have to. Please, and you have to come here and maybe have some meetings.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah, you'll love it. It's Yeah, we'll have some meetings. We got the team. It's a lot of the same people that worked on Crescendo. A lot of the same Metanoia family will be working on this film. Mm-hmm. So it's all in the family.
Okay. All right. So nice to know.
All right, Luthia, do you have any closing words for us?
That I feel so grateful, really, Jason, for this opportunity to speak with you after this long time and knowing our beginnings. So really, thank you, Jason, for this moment to speak and to keep sharing many things that still being strong for us together. And nothing that maybe after the COVID pandemic, we all know people that are suffering or people that we know that are in search of something more deep inside. So if you are one of them in these four stories that are speaking or told in Alive, the movie, three of them were atheists. No, as you said, and someone Catholic friend or someone brought them to a church, and they find someone that is alive in this moment in an adoration. So maybe we don't convince a friend or parents or brothers and sisters, whatever, to go to a church. This is so difficult. To be with you in an adoration or a conference on something like that, but they will say yes to go with you to the movies. So pray for them before inviting, and then go with them and just let God speak for you and see what happens and enjoy the movie. And if you please have something to tell us, if you want to help in these days that are, because we are in the countdown, if you want to help us, just wrote us in Alive the Movement or in Bosco Films social media, and we will be very grateful or to find all the people that are trying to change life in small steps, with a small yes. That are big
steps for. There's no big steps, right? There's no big things. There's only small things done in order that make big things happen. And to get this Alive film onto 700 theaters in the United States of America, a Spanish documentary on the Eucharist took a lot of small steps done in order with discipline over years. And so now we have the good part, which is popcorn, candy. My favorite candy is snow caps. I got to get the popcorn, I get the snow caps, and I get the biggest Coca-Cola. And I can't go to a movie. Probably the only movie I watched without popcorn, the only two movies I've ever watched without popcorn were The Stoning of Soraya M. and The Passion. And other than that, I
understand it.
Yeah, right. So, well, Luthia, let's stay in touch. I know it's very late there in Spain, so thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, I'm so excited to get this new film produced so we can use Bosco Films to distribute our next film. I'm in Spain. I'm so excited about that.
Thank you so much, Jason.
All right. God bless.
God bless you.
Question. Do you guys have MyPillow in Spain? Do you guys get MyPillow products?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever heard of MyPillow?
MyPillow?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
MyPillow?
It's not even fair. So in the United States, we have a pillow. It's called MyPillow. They sponsor the Jason Jones Show. You go to MyPillow.com, You use the code Jones. You get deep discounts on the best pillow in the world ever. And I think it's sad that in Spain, you guys don't know about my pillow. I'm going to send you and your husband. Yes, you're going to not even know. This is what America's about, making the best things. You didn't even, you know, we made the iPhone, right?
Yes, of course.
What else did we make? The Mach 3 Razor. You don't know about that, but I know about it. Mach 4, Mach 7, whatever now. And my pillow. Three best inventions in the history of the man. America. And so I'm going to send you.
Okay.
I'm going to send you some. I'm going to get your contact information from Alexis, and I'm going to mail you the best pillows ever. Everyone in Spain is going to be envious of you because you're going to have my pillow pillows in Spain.
So important.
Envy? It's making others
it's
envy
basic
you.
And please.
That's okay. Did you say making people envy you is important? I agree with that. If you're not inspiring envy, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? No one's envying you. What are you doing? Get moving.
I have my US pillow, my pillow.
My pillow. That's what it's called. I can't believe it's not in Spain. We should bring it to Spain. We'll be rich and famous.
Okay.
Please
send me all the info.
All right. I'm going to send you your free pillows, Lucia. My pillow. You're just... Your life's going to change. You're never going to sleep so good.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye. All right, everybody. You got to meet the great Lucia, founder of Bosco Films. And go to alivethemovement.com and buy some tickets this coming Monday. All right. I'm going to be there. I'm going to post pictures on my social media. You will see me there with all of my friends. And I have to tell you, doing this show after going to Ukraine and just the mess that's been in Afghanistan this week, we'll do some shows on this. Pakistan is, there have been incursions, there are battles happening between Pakistan's invading Afghanistan. Russia has shelled near shelters that we support in Western Ukraine. Just a really rough week for us. And things I can't even talk about, the roughest things that have happened this week to some of our team members, I'm not at liberty to talk about right now. So just a really sorrowful week. So to talk to an old friend who set out as a young woman to change the world through the power of film, went about it in the most important way, which was to start a distribution company in Spain, distributes great movies in Spain. And now they're distributing a Spanish documentary on 700 screens in the United States, which that's epic. And we get to be a part of that this Monday by going to the theater. This episode has been brought to you, as always, by the Vulnerable People Project, standing in solidarity with the most vulnerable people in the world. When you heard me say that last year, it meant one thing, right? The Uyghur and Christians in Iraq. And this year, it means something much different to us, doesn't it? It's really, we like generally at the Vulnerable People Project to run influence campaigns to make sure there are policies that advance the interests of vulnerable minorities. But since August, of course, we've been stuck in the crosshairs of the most horrible violence that the world has ever seen in Ukraine and Afghanistan. And we are never leaving our friends in Afghanistan. We are getting people out every week. As far as I know, we're the last organization effectively getting people out weekly, distributing food all across the country. When you donate, when you become a monthly donor at thegreatcampaign.org, you are shoulder to shoulder with the most vulnerable, from the child in the womb to the families in Mariupol, to the families we have in safe houses across Pakistan and Afghanistan. Go to thegreatcampaign.org. And you know it, mypillow.com, best pillows on earth. Use the code Jones for deep, deep discounts. Summer is a-coming. You need those Giza Dream sheets. You need that pillow because it's about to get hot. And my pillow doesn't get hot. So there's no waking up, tossing and turning and flipping your pillow back and forth. Nah. You sleep perfectly through the night. Mypillow.com, the user code Jones. Until next time, it's the Jason Jones Show.
This has been the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media.